tensed up again. Did you really think you could get away with it?
I will fight this.
He turned to Maisonneuve.
None of this is true. This is slander. I should be making a complaint against her.
He spat out the last word. Camille opened the folder on her desk and started reading from an email she received. What you need is a man to show you what it feels like. A big, hard... She paused, but then decided to continue. Dick shoved into that lesbian cunt. She glanced at Duflo again. Oh, very imaginative, she scoffed. You really couldn't be a little more original than that. What did you do? Go on the internet and consult the Threatened Straight Male Handbook? Camille rolled her eyes. Did it have a section on how to troll lesbians?
I'm not admitting to any of this.
He turned to Maisonneuve again.
If that's all the proof you've got, I'm innocent until proven guilty. Anyone could have written that.
Camille nodded at Maisonneuve.
You're fired, Monsieur Duflo, he said. Human Relations considers the charges made against you sufficiently proven. Official charges may be made against you with the police. You may want to consult a lawyer at this point.
A lawyer?
His voice grew high-pitched.
What's with this witch hunt against me all of a sudden?
He slammed a fist on the table.
And all because of her!
Please, Monsieur Duflo, I urge you to remain calm. You'll only make matters worse if you don't,
Maisonneuve said. He shot up out of his chair.
How do you expect me to remain calm when I'm hearing all of this? So she received some anonymous emails. So what? I keep telling you it wasn't me.
Oh, so you have the utmost respect for me.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Camille asked.
Is that why you're getting so worked up? Of course I don't respect you. You've never respected me.
He sat down, took a deep breath and said,
Everybody here knows how you got this job. Because your ex-husband knows the right kind of people and you probably displayed very persuasive methods to have been put in charge. What's next? No more men allowed to work at CNRS? Or only sissies, perhaps?
He let his hands fall into his lap.
What has the world come to if a woman like Dominique Laroche can become president?
He forcibly blew some air through his nostrils.
I hardly recognize the country I grew up in anymore. It's just not right. You can go on about equality all you want. To me.
He balled his fist and brought it to his chest.
In here. It simply doesn't feel right.
Camille could have said so many things, but she knew it would be in vain. Men like Duflo were so convinced of their superiority and so brainwashed by organizations like Tous Ensemble and the ANF that there was no use arguing. Not when he was in a state like this. Besides, she had already wasted too much time on this particular man. She hoped he would never know how much his bigotry had hurt her. How much she had hated coming to work at this institute she genuinely loved, where she had worked all her life and had begun to feel so out of place. You're a scientist, Camille said. That's what baffles me most of all.
Being a scientist got nothing to do with how I feel,
Duflo said. You can go now. And don't come back. Camille had had enough of looking at his sorry face. He sighed, remained seated for a few more seconds, but couldn't look Camille in the eye anymore.
I'll escort you out, Maisonneuve said.
Camille watched them leave her office. Only when the door was firmly shut behind them did she take a deep breath. She breathed in and out slowly for a few minutes, then called Zoya. It's over, she said. He's gone. Take the afternoon off, darling, Zoya said. I'm finishing my last assignment for ANBC. Gladly, mon amour, she said on a sigh. I'm so proud of you, Zoya said.
I have nothing to be proud of, Camille replied. It was just plain old bigotry.
She closed her eyes. A lack of respect for another human being. If having to fight for respect is something to be proud of these days, then what has the world come to?
The world has always been like this. Zoya's voice was calm,
Hindi will always be locked dead. Just as love and kindness and dignity will always be the antidote. You're on the right side, and that counts for something.
Camille smiled. She could focus all her attention on Zoya now, on making her as happy as possible in Paris. Although she suspected Zoya's level of homesickness had already decreased considerably when she was offered the job at Babier and Cyr.
I'll be home in an hour, ready to love you, she said.
Good. Zoya made a kissing noise over the phone.
They might not think we have anything to celebrate, but I'll pick up a bottle of champagne nonetheless.
Aurore opened the door. The fire was already burning bright in her belly. Solange was half an hour late, but Aurore didn't care. She was here now, about to walk in, and that's what mattered.
Hey, you, she said, unable to suppress a wide smile from appearing on her face.
And you? Solange walked in, slammed the door shut behind her, and gently pushed Aurore against it. She looked her in the eye for a split second before she pressed her lips against Aurore's. So far, they had only kissed, but Aurore had the unshakable belief that something more was going to happen tonight. Solange pushing her against the door only confirmed her suspicion.
I'm very happy to see you too, she said when Solange's hunger for kisses was stilled.
How was work? We've got you-know-who arriving for a state visit next week. It makes for a lot of jokes, but also for a lot of hypocritical talking points to be prepared. She shook her head. As if anyone cares what goes on behind closed doors. They just want the moronic sound bites.
You seem a bit tense.
Aurore dug her fingers into Solange's shoulders.
I'll be tense for as long as Dominique is president. You should probably be aware of this.
I am. Aurore grabbed Solange's hand and pulled her to the sofa.
Can I get you anything to eat or drink?
Solange shook her head.
No, but we should probably talk.
What do you want to talk about?
Aurore grinned.
You. Me. Us. Is there even such a thing as us? This is all very confusing. I have no idea what I'm doing. Sometimes I wake up at night and I think I've lost my mind.
Maybe it's true what some people will have you believe. Maybe you can become gay by association.
Aurore chuckled heartily. I'm sorry, but I don't think that's very funny, Solange said.
Really?
Aurore tilted her head and started tickling Solange's side.
Not even when I do this.
Can you be serious for a moment, please? Despite her words, there was a lightness to Solange's tone. This is serious. I think Stephanie is onto us. She keeps making these remarks. Well, you were there. What do you think?
I think.
Aurore pulled Solange closer to her.
It doesn't matter one bit what Stephanie thinks.
You never believe anything that anyone else thinks matters.
I do. So what if she's on to us?
Aurore asked. There we go with the us again. What is us?
I guess it involves doing this.
Aurore hoisted herself up and straddled Solange, and then kissed her on the lips. When they broke from the kiss, Solange was smiling up at her. But if, as you put it, this makes me a lesbian by association and you don't date lesbians, then what is this?
Nuh-uh. You've got it all wrong.
Aurore kissed her on the cheek.
Who I date has got nothing to do with being straight, or lesbian, or bisexual. That's all fluid anyway.
Oh, yes, that's right. It's all about the emotional unavailability with you, she grinned. I'll have you know that my emotions are extremely available.
Don't you remember, Madam Chief of Staff, what it's all about with me?
She leaned down and whispered in Solange's ear.
It's all about making unsatisfied women come.
She followed with a hot kiss on Solange's neck, a nibble of her earlobe.
Is
that your plan for tonight? Solange asked, sounding short of breath.
Aurore looked at her.
If that's what you want. If you're ready. Oh, yes, Solange said. I do believe I'm ready. She tugged Aurore close. I'm ready for you to work your magic on me.
No pressure, then.
Aurore whispered back.
None at all. Aurore felt Solange's lips spread into a smile against the skin of her neck.
Then please allow me to invite you into my boudoir.
Aurore freed herself from Solange's embrace and held out her hand. That den of decadence and sin? Solange took her hand. I can't wait to see it.
It's just an ordinary bedroom with an ordinary bed. I hope it won't disappoint.
They shuffled to Aurore's bedroom. Solange yanked Aurore's blouse from the waistband of her trousers.
I can't stop thinking about you. The thought of this has been scaring and delighting me in equal measures.
You have nothing to be scared of. Then the delight should follow easily.
Aurore unbuttoned the top button of Solange's white blouse.
We'll go very, very slowly. And if anything happens that you don't like, just say so.
She caught Solange's gaze.
This is important. I need you to tell me. If it's too much, or if you want me to stop for any reason, I won't be offended.
She started on the second button.
This is for you. Okay?
Not just for me, I hope, Solange said. There's two of us here.
Aurore nodded.
Yes, and believe me, this is just as big a deal for me as it is for you. I'm just a little more experienced.
She continued unbuttoning Solange's shirt and slid it off her shoulders. An arrow of desire shot up Aurore's spine. Solange had posed a valid question when she'd asked what this was.
It had taken Aurore by surprise just as much, even though admittedly, she found herself in somewhat familiar circumstances.
She banned too much analytical thought from her mind.
She wanted to savor every last second of this encounter.
This was Solange Garceau standing in her bedroom, and she could pull the plug on this any time.
That was why Aurore proceeded with the utmost caution and demanded clear communication.
But she only had to glance back up from Solange's bra-covered breasts to her face to know she wouldn't be bringing a halt to this any time soon. Aurore ran a finger over Solange's abdomen, delighting in how her skin broke out in goosebumps at the tiniest touch. She let her fingers skate along the waistband of Solange's trousers, then looked at her face again. Solange stood there with her lips parted, her gaze glued to Aurore's. Aurore moved in for a kiss again, slid her hands to Solange's back, and while she slipped her tongue inside her mouth, unhooked her bra. The piece of fabric was stuck between their bodies, and Solange took a sharp inhale of breath as they parted from their kiss, and her bra fell to the floor. Aurore's gaze roamed hungrily over Solange's naked chest.
You're so beautiful,
she whispered, and kissed her again, impatient for their naked bodies to press together at last.
You're just saying that, Solange whispered back, so you can get the rest of my clothes off.
She smiled widely, her head tilted, her neck in a long, elegant slant. Aurore chuckled in response. She ran her fingers from Solange's shoulders to her breasts, drawing circles around her nipples. She could enjoy herself with this part of Solange's body for quite some time. She walked forwards, pushing Solange backwards in the process, until the backs of her legs hit the bed.
It's not fair if you don't take off yours as well, Solange said, a hint of chief of staff tone in her voice.
She reached for Aurore's blouse and, instead of slowly unbuttoning it, hoisted it over her head. Aurore unfastened her own bra and held it to her chest.
Solange gently swatted her arms away so Aurore's bra, too, tumbled to the floor.
Better?
Aurore asked, as a rush of air against her skin made her nipples peak. Any hint of smile had disappeared from Solange's face. She just nodded and pulled Aurore against her.
Their skins and lips met and glued together. They fell onto the bed.
They clumsily kicked off their shoes, and Aurore made sure Solange was lying comfortably on her back before she started caressing her breasts again. She cupped one in her hand and caught the nipple between her fingers. She bent and took Solange's other nipple in her mouth, licking it gently. She then kissed a path back up, along her neck, to her mouth, and while she intensified the grasp of her hand on Solange's breast and kissed her deeply again, her own breasts pushed into Solange's naked flesh. When they paused for air, both of them a little out of breath, Aurore smiled at Solange and wondered how she could make things go differently with this woman. How she could make her stay. Because this was the easy part. The fun bit. But for Aurore, heartbreak had so often started with a scene like this one. Naked in bed, with another woman. She was almost 50. She was ready for something to last. But there was no way of knowing now. Not at this stage. Just as there was no point in worrying. All she could do was do what she always did. Try to give the utmost pleasure. Aurore pecked Solange on the lips, then kissed her breasts. She rolled her nipples between her lips while she kneaded the flesh with her hands. Solange moaned beneath her, and Aurore wished she could get a glimpse inside her head, to know exactly what she was thinking at that very moment. Instead, she had to make do with the outward signs of Solange's pleasure, which told her plenty. Had it been her speech at the dinner party that had pushed the chief of staff over the edge? The promise of something she, until then, had only vaguely known? Had that propelled her to kiss Aurore like that the other night? The thought that she would have to start somewhere? It didn't matter. Either way, Solange had come to the right person. Not because of Aurore's sexual experience, but because of her life experience. The work she did, what she stood for, the message she tried to spread, and the message she was trying to convey loud and clear tonight. It's okay for you to feel like this, to let go and give yourself up to this physical sensation. Aurore didn't feel pressure, although the fact that this was Solange's first time with another woman gave her a definite thrill. Maybe that was just how Aurore was wired. For all the information she had acquired about the psychology of sex in her 49 years on this earth, she didn't have the exact piece of knowledge that would adequately explain what it was that made her crave this so much. But that was okay. This mystery within her. Not everything needed to be explained. Some things could just be enjoyed. While she feasted on Solange's breasts, Aurore flipped open the button of her trousers. She slowly zipped it down and let a finger slide down just for a fraction of a second. Now that that particular button had been popped, she checked in with Solange again. She kissed her way back up to Solange's lips, and the fierceness with which Solange pressed herself against Aurore told her everything she needed to know. But still, Aurore had to hear the words come from her mouth. I'm going to take off your trousers now. Okay? She asked.
Please,
Solange said. She looked into Aurore's eyes, swung her arms around her neck and pulled her close.
I'm all in,
she whispered.
Tu comprends?
Aurore nodded, her chin bumping against Solange's flesh. She understood all right. She pushed herself up and draped her body against Solange's. Her finger danced along Solange's skin all the way down, where it slid inside her trousers again, just lightly touching down, just to gauge Solange's reaction. Solange raised her hands above her head and expelled a sigh. The poor woman probably had decades of sexual frustration running amok in her body right now,
only slowly being released by the gentle touch of Aurore's fingertip. But if she had waited this long, she could wait a little longer. This was a moment to be savored. Aurore went to work on Solange's trousers and slid them off her legs, taking care of her own in the process. Then there they lay, only clad in panties. Aurore's clit pulsed against the fabric of hers. But this wasn't about her release. As far as she was concerned, that wasn't even on the table tonight. She got plenty of pleasure out of this. Aurore positioned herself so she lay half on top of Solange, giving one hand free rein to roam, while also being able to kiss her and look at her face. Her knee fell between Solange's legs, and Solange pressed herself up against it, her action intensifying as their kisses deepened again. The butterflies in Aurore's stomach roared up as she started kissing her way down once more. This time, she didn't halt at Solange's breasts for long, and she went all the way down, along the soft skin of her belly, until she reached the delicate fabric of her panties. Aurore didn't stop planting soft kisses. She continued until her mouth reached Solange's clit. She found it through the fabric of Solange's panties. It was hard against her lips. Aurore couldn't resist throwing in a slow lick of the tongue. Solange writhed beneath her. Aurore looked up, but Solange's head was thrown back into the pillow, her hands already clinging to the sheets for dear life. She kissed Solange there again, lingering this time, moistening her panties. Solange's clit was clearly lined out in the fabric now, and Aurore licked it again. By then, Aurore was done teasing. She wanted to taste the real thing. She pushed Solange's panties to the side and looked down at her wet pussy. Aurore paused to take a breath, before she leaned in and repeated the process of gently kissing Solange's clit.
Mon Dieu,
Solange said on a sigh. Aurore paced herself. This was an important moment for her as well. What if this was the start of something that would last? Wouldn't she want the memory of this to be equally as lasting? She circled her tongue around Solange's clit, then skated it along her lips. Oh, joy of this. Of touching a woman like this for the first time. Of getting to know her so intimately, so profoundly. Aurore was so turned on, she was of half a mind to bring a hand between her own legs. But she wanted, even more so, to focus all her attention on Solange. No distractions. She maneuvered Solange's undies off her and tossed them somewhere into the semi-darkness of the room. Solange was fully naked in front of her now. How unlikely an outcome. When they'd first met, Solange had given the impression she wanted to ban Aurore to a desert island, so she and her progressive, sex-positive politics would never be heard of again. Aurore sat between Solange's spread legs and kneeled down. She kissed her clit and felt Solange's muscles contract as a loud sigh escaped her mouth. She circled her tongue around Solange's clit and felt her wetness spread against her chin. Aurore didn't have it in her to tease Solange much longer, yet she kept herself from launching a full-on onslaught of licks. She continued to lap at her gingerly, careful not to set her off too much. Solange pressed her body upwards to meet the strokes of Aurore's tongue. From under her lashes, Aurore tried to catch a glimpse of Solange's face, but she couldn't see anything. Solange's head was still thrown back into the pillow, only the curve of her neck on display. And in that moment, Aurore had an inkling of what she could do differently this time, how she wanted it to be a departure from other times she had been in this exact position, both mentally and physically. She wanted to see Solange's face. She needed to. She licked her clit one last time and scooted upwards.
She replaced her tongue with a finger for an instant, and just as she kissed Solange on the cheek, she pushed her finger high inside. Solange turned her head and looked at her. Her eyes were glazed over, her lips parted. She blinked, then closed her eyes, her pelvis pushing up, eagerly meeting Aurore's stroking. Aurore looked on in wonder at Solange's abandonment. Her belief was once again reconfirmed that no matter how buttoned up anyone can come across outside the bedroom, it had no bearing on how much they could let go inside of it. Aurore pressed her lips against Solange's and slid her tongue in as she curled her finger inside of her. She kept caressing Solange's clit as she fucked her. She could smell Solange's most intimate aroma on her chin.
"Harder,"
Solange whispered when her lips parted for a split second. And her uttering of that word surprised Aurore most of all. Aurore happily obliged. She should have guessed that, once she'd reached that space beyond all her self-imposed barriers, the chief of staff wouldn't be afraid to ask. Solange had thrown her head back again, and Aurore kissed her neck until the bucking of Solange's hips became more frantic. Then Aurore trained her gaze on Solange's exquisite face and witnessed how she came at her fingers with a grimace and a succession of loud sighs. Aurore let her fingers slide out and smiled softly at Solange. Solange smiled back, then threw her arms around Aurore's neck and buried her face in her hair. Aurore waited until she was ready to let go, then put her head on Solange's shoulder. Neither one of them spoke. Aurore placed her hand on Solange's belly and watched it go up and down with her breath. Solange brought a hand on top of Aurore's and interweaved her fingers with hers.
"I'm not sure what to do next," she whispered.
Aurore pressed a kiss to her skin and pushed herself up on her elbow to look at Solange.
"You don't have to do anything," she said.
"Isn't that the unspoken deal?"
She clenched her fingers tighter around Aurore's.
"Clearly not, because you just spoke of it."
Aurore grinned.
"I'm serious, though. This must all be very overwhelming. We can just lie here for a while. See what happens. Just don't worry about reciprocation or anything like that. Enjoy your moment."
Solange turned on her side.
"It was quite a moment."
Her lips bloomed into a smile.
"I may need a few days to process it."
She unhooked her fingers from Aurore's hand and ran a finger over Aurore's belly.
"I...
She paused and remained silent for a while.
"What is it?"
Aurore asked.
"I'm so impressed by you. I feel a little intimidated."
"I'm equally impressed by you," Aurore said. "I'm impressed that you came here. I'm impressed that you let go of everything and are now lying in bed with me. I don't take any of that for granted."
"Maybe I could only ever do this with someone like you."
Solange smiled shyly. A new kind of smile for Aurore to witness on her.
"Someone like me?" Aurore asked.
"I only mean that in the best way possible," Solange continued. "Once I got over myself and I could truly see you for who you were, obviously."
"A left-wing loudmouth who once had a part in a porn movie,"
Aurore joked. Solange shook her head.
"A kind, patient, wholly unthreatening, gorgeous woman," she said.
Aurore broke out into a smile. She kissed Solange on the nose, then let her lips drift to her mouth again. Whether any of this tenderness would ever exist between them outside of this bedroom remained to be seen. But Aurore intended to enjoy it while she had Solange in bed with her, and tried to make it last as long as she could. Zoya.
"Oh, darling, come on," Zoya said, but didn't push Camille away. "I can't be late on my first day."
"You won't be. I calculated this in when I set the alarm last night," Camille said as she circled a finger on Zoya's clit.
"The alarm hasn't even gone off yet. Zoya said.
Exactly.
Camille's finger kept darting around, not really touching, but promising plenty. Zoya had barely slept. Nerves about her first day at Babier and Cyr had kept her awake most of the night, and she had tossed and turned fitfully. She had woken up well before she had to, and her frenzied antics had jolted Camille from sleep a few minutes ago.
I just want to erase as much of your nerves as I can, Camille said.
Unless you know of something better that will get the job done. She kissed Zoya on the lips.
Would you prefer to go for a walk instead? She grinned.
It's still dark outside, though. Her finger became a bit more insistent. While here in bed with me, it's nice and warm and... Her finger dipped down. A little wet, I must say.
If you put it like that. Zoya smiled up at Camille. French women are so hard to resist. I don't even know why I try.
Camille's finger was hovering over the rim of her pussy. I don't know either. Camille pushed the tip of her finger inside. It's so pointless.
Utterly.
The word barely made it past her throat.
Who doesn't like to get fucked by a Française before work?
Camille's finger slid in deep.
You're in Paris now, darling.
She lowered her voice.
Do as the Parisians do.
All Zoya did was spread her legs a little wider and expel from her mind all the nervously skittering thoughts about how she could screw up at Babier and Cyr today. Camille was right. This was proving a very effective method of putting her mind at ease. Her body, on the other hand, was less at peace.
Talk to me. Camille insisted. Tell me what you want.
Camille knew very well what Zoya wanted. But she also knew that saying the words out loud would turn Zoya on, bring her to that edge so much faster.
Eat another finger,
Zoya said between uneven breaths. Camille grinned, then slowly retracted her finger, examined Zoya's face until she quirked up her eyebrows, then slid two fingers inside of her.
Is that all? Camille asked. I have more to give, chérie.
She leaned it down to kiss Zoya's nipple.
Much more.
There was a new lightness about Camille since that douchebag at the CNRS had gotten the boot. It was the same carefree Camille that Zoya had met in Sydney all those months ago. The woman she had been unable to resist. She was still unable to resist. Just before Zoya managed to scrape together a reply to Camille's naughty question, she thought about how life constantly changed, how nothing ever stayed the same. And sometimes one didn't notice the change, because it was slow and incremental, but it was still there, just as much as Camille was in many ways, the same delightful woman she'd met the previous year. This ordeal had changed her as well. It had made her more determined and even less tolerant of bigotry. No one else was perhaps able to notice this but Zoya, the one closest to her, the woman who loved her most.
Go down on me,
Zoya said, with a little regret, because it would shut Camille up, and she enjoyed it immensely when she talked to her like that. But they didn't have all day. Zoya needed time to obsess over the outfit she was going to wear, and whether taking that box of macaroons she'd bought yesterday would be too much, or appreciated as a friendly touch by her new bosses.
Your wish is my command, my lady,
Camille joked, and disappeared under the covers. Once she brought her tongue into play and kept fucking Zoya with increasing ferocity, Zoya's nerves were no longer a match for her flaring desire. She welcomed the rush of pleasurable hormones washing over her and, just as Camille had predicted, they flushed some of the tension from her system. As she lay panting, Camille crawled from under the duvet, a wet, wide grin on her face.
Happy to oblige, my lady, she said. You're going to kick ass today. We both know that.
Zoya pulled Camille close to her. Maybe today was the real beginning of her life in Paris, with Camille.
The trial period had ended. This was it. And she was ready. Let's go to Le Comptoir, Steph said. It's tradition.
It's only four, Zoya said. I haven't done any work yet.
There's plenty of time for work come tomorrow. This is your first day. We have to celebrate.
At 4 o'clock? Zoya repeated.
I can wait 5 minutes if you insist. I'll just sit here.
Well, you are my boss, Zoya said.
And First Lady of the Republic, Steph said. Let's not forget that.
As reluctant a First Lady as you want to make me believe you are, you certainly never allow me to forget it.
It's a love-hate relationship. And I do like to abuse the title when I can. That way I at least get something out of it. 10 minutes later, after Steph's security detail had had a chance to do the usual safety check, they sat inside a typical French cafe, each with a cosmopolitan in front of them. Steph seemed very familiar with Tony the bartender.
So this is where you conduct most of your business, Zoya joked.
In truth, I haven't been here for ages, being First Lady and all that.
A shadow crossed over her face before it lit up again.
I used to come here all the time. I have so many memories here, she smiled. Good and bad, but mostly good.
I miss it.
But there's not much room for nostalgia in my life.
She held up her glass.
Onwards and upwards, as they say.
To a great first day.
Zoe clinked her glass against Steph's while wondering for how long they would be left in peace here. Don't get used to it. We didn't reel in a big fish like you without intending to use all of your assets.
I'm very keen to use my assets, whatever they may be, Zoya said. Have things settled down between Dominique and you now?
Mostly, yes. The sparkle in Steph's eye intensified. I love her, you know. I was complicating everything, but when it comes down to it, it's as simple as that. I love her, and she happens to be president. Just like any other person in a relationship, I have to take the good with the bad. Meaning in this case, I have to tolerate Solange. She chuckled. I'm kidding. Solange has proven herself to be less uptight of late. And that whole thing with Lisa just shook me out of it. We found more middle ground now. She drank. But gosh, it's so easy to get complacent and let that middle ground slip away. Especially in a place as high-powered and crazy as the Élysée. So I have named myself guardian of our private schedule. Not just for my benefit, but for Dominique's and the children as well. If she's going for another term, I don't want her burned out by the time she gets to it.
The door of the bar opened, and Zoe witnessed Steph stiffen, and her expression turned to worry. Is everything all right? Zoya quickly asked.
Steph visibly relaxed again as soon as she saw it was Juliette who was entering the bar. I'm fine. I just always expect some low-life photographer to show up when I'm out and about with friends.
Well, 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 Juliette said. We didn't make you partner so you could lead new employees astray in the middle of the afternoon, she said. Are bad, I guess.
She shot Zoya a smile. I can't be held responsible for the bad decisions you make, boss, Steph said.
Juliette waved off her comment. We need to talk about Claire's hen night, she said. Steph sat up and arched her eyebrows.
I distinctly remember hearing Claire say in that very determined tone of hers that she would not be having a hen night. They are a stupid, backward tradition, and the last thing she needs is one last night of so-called freedom. Least of all a stripper.
Juliette had barely sat down when Tony had already brought her a Cosmo. It doesn't have to be a trashy affair, but I want to do something with her before she marries. Truth be told, I think I need it more than her. She was single for such a long time. In some ways, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact she's getting married.
Steph turned to Zoya. They used to be lovers. She shot Zoya a wink.
Juliette shook her head, then turned to Zoya as well. Has Steph told you all about her affair with Claire by any chance?
Blimey, Zoya said. I didn't know there was some sort of entrance exam I had to pass to get a job at Barbier and Cyr. No offense, of course, but I'm in a relationship and I'm glad I got to skip that bit.
Both Steph and Juliette burst into a chuckle.
I always knew you'd fit right in, Steph said.
then leaned over the table and whispered,
"But do count yourself lucky, because you don't know the half of it. I'll brief you when the time is right."
Juliet sat shaking her head. "Are you going to help me or not?" she asked.
"Do I have a choice?"
Steph asked. "Not really," Juliet replied. Zoe leaned back in her chair and listened to them bicker for a while. Safe in the knowledge that she had found the best place of work for herself in Paris. Steph.
"Welcome to this week's PR meeting," Steph said. "I'm so glad you could make it."
Dominique looked around the bedroom.
"What's all this?"
"Just trying to set the right tone for the occasion," Steph said, overlooking the sea of candles she had lit.
"That must be some meeting you have planned. I wish you had sent me the agenda earlier so I could have prepared better."
Dominique fixed her gaze on Steph's.
"I feel like I'm missing something, like I didn't get the memo."
Dominique shuffled closer to her and put her arms around her neck. "Just setting a new standard," Steph said. "Things need to be a little different between us from now on, don't you think?"
Dominique smiled. "That doesn't mean you have to put in all the effort." She kissed Steph on the lips. Steph felt a tingle all the way down to her toes. But it wasn't lust that she felt.
"I don't intend to."
She slipped her hands underneath Dominique's blouse.
Dominique chuckled.
"Then what do you intend?"
Steph withdrew her hands and took a step back. "My intentions are pure, I promise." She delved a hand into her pocket, sank down to one knee and said, "My only intention, really, is to finally make an honest woman out of you, Madam President."
She fished the ring out of her pocket and held it up.
"What do you say? Shall we do this?"
Dominique's mouth fell open. She pointed a finger at Steph. "You're asking me?" She huffed out a chuckle. "To marry you?"
"That's generally how it goes when a person goes down on one knee," Steph said.
When she had hatched this plan, she hadn't doubted Dominique's positive answer. Yet now, as she knelt there, the first smidgen of doubt lodged itself in her brain. Had she jumped the gun, moved too fast, stolen Dominique's thunder? "After I asked you twice and you turned me down as many times?" Dominique wasn't planning on making this easy on her, so it seemed.
"I figured it was the only way, that you weren't going to ask anymore."
Steph looked up at her and took a deep breath.
"I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you."
She wasn't one to have her voice crack, but it did now.
"Babe."
Dominique sank to her knees and sat in front of her.
"Are you sure about this? I mean, are you not doing this out of for goodness sake, Dominique, what is your answer?"
Steph held up the ring a little higher. Dominique found her gaze again.
"Of course my answer is yes. I want nothing more than to be your wife."
"You left me hanging there for a second."
Steph reached for Dominique's hand.
"I'm so sorry about that."
Dominique looked down at their joined hands. Steph slid the ring over her ring finger.
"I think I lost a few years of my life doing that."
She kissed Dominique on the knuckle.
"How did you ever work up the nerve to ask me twice?"
"Maybe it wasn't so much nerve as stubbornness."
Dominique wrapped her hands around Steph.
"I wasn't ready then," Steph said. "I am now."
"I'm so happy that you are."
Dominique threw her arms around Steph's neck. "But I have to say, this was the very last thing I expected to happen tonight."
"What did you expect?"
Steph pecked her on the lips.
"More of this."
Dominique kissed her back.
"And I haven't told you the news that's going to excite you beyond anything yet," Dominique said when she let go of Steph and studied her new ring. "This is gorgeous, by the way."
She glanced at Steph. "Does this mean to be wearing the ring I've had for you all this time?" Steph nodded.
"What's the news?"
Dominique smiled.
"I think I'm going to have to make you wait for it, seeing as you made me wait for this for a very long time, only so you could surprise me when I least expected it."
"That's not how it went."
Steph shook her head. I'm just teasing you. Dominique slid onto her behind and took Steph's hands in hers again. Solange has had a distinct spring in her step for the past 2 days. She hasn't said anything, obviously, and I don't know what's going on with her exactly, but something is most definitely going on. She tilted her head. If I didn't know any better, I would say she's showing signs of falling in love. Steph brought a hand to her mouth and Mock gasped.
Has hell frozen over? Can pigs fly? Solange Garceau in love? It can't possibly be.
Steph made a mental note to call Aurore as soon as possible.
As your brand new fiancé, surely I'm allowed to get to the bottom of this.
Dominique held up a finger. You leave poor Solange alone and let her enjoy this wonderful time in peace, she sniggered. Who knows? This may never happen again. We must tread carefully.
Who would have thought? The Élysée so full of love hormones.
Steph narrowed her eyes.
Logically, she can only be having these feelings for Aurore.
We don't know that, Dominique said.
The thing is, that I do know, though,
Steph said. You think you know. There's a distinct difference between the two. Dominique shuffled closer again. Besides, you're getting way too excited about this. Time to refocus on tonight's events. She gave Steph a quick kiss, then pushed herself up off the floor. I'll be right back. I'm going to get your ring. Steph watched her scoot off and heard Dominique rummage through her study. She glued her glance to the doorway, through which her future wife, the President of France, would soon walk, holding an engagement ring for her. Solange took a deep breath. She must truly have lost her mind. But the car had stopped. She had made the decision, albeit in a state of altered consciousness, and now she had to go through with it. Are you ready? Aurore asked. Solange looked at her gorgeous face with those big brown eyes, eyes she had lost herself in so many times the past few days. Not really. What are you most worried about? Aurore had used this very question to snap Solange out of the thoughts that spun in her head a few times since they'd started sleeping together. Every time it made Solange wonder, what was she worried about anyway? Steph's scorn, Dominique's flabbergasted face. She barely knew anyone else at this wedding. When she had agreed to come as Aurore's plus one, she had easily been able to ignore these thoughts, because it was Aurore who had asked her. And how could she say no to Aurore? How could she not want to go anywhere with her now that she had shown Solange what she'd been missing in her life all this time? Solange would follow Aurore to the ends of the earth. She had said so, in those very words, when Aurore had brought it up. Why don't you come with me to Claire and Margot's wedding? Aurore had been lying naked in bed with her. Because it will be crawling with socialists, was Solange's instinctive reply. The president will be there. Aurore had dragged that delightful finger of hers over the sensitive skin of Solange's belly. Never before had Solange been more surprised by the power of one single fingertip. I'll go with you, wherever you want me to. Solange's voice had just taken over, without checking in with her brain. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. But now here she sat, a bunch of nerves barreling through her. It had been so easy to agree, just like it had become so easy to fall into bed with Aurore. It hadn't taken much after that first time. Actually, since that time, Solange had been unable to control herself, and had kissed Aurore on the lips so unstoppably. That was when she had sealed her fate. Now she couldn't get enough of her. She could have used the excuse of work, but by God, she just wanted to be near Aurore, feel that frisson of excitement in the air that was always there when they were together, let it build and build, and only then give in. The fact that she would have to come out to the likes of Stephanie had occurred to her, but had been so easily brushed off. Because why would Solange feel any trepidation at all about how good, how utterly exquisite, really, she had been feeling? She'd have to face Steph's scorn at some point, She might as well get it over with.
Let's just go, Solange said.
Aurore nodded, got out of the car first, then offered Solange her hand. Solange eagerly grabbed hold of it, not intending to let go anytime soon. Nerves coiled into a tight ball in her stomach as they walked into the sunlit garden of the chateau where the ceremony would take place. Solange kept her eyes peeled for Dominique, but chances were she would arrive just in the nick of time, what with having to deal with a security detail.
Zoya and Camille are over there, Aurore said.
Solange braced herself and let Aurore lead the way, pretty much the way she'd been doing since that first night they had slept together. She witnessed how Camille made eyes at Aurore.
Zoya, on the other hand, greeted Solange with a hug so warm it felt as though they'd been friends forever.
You remember Solange, Aurore said.
Camille glanced at their clasped hands. How could I forget, she said and kissed Solange on the cheek.
I'm sorry, but, did I miss something? She asked.
Clearly you did, darling.
Zoya threw an arm around her partner.
But isn't it wonderful?
Yes, of course, Camille stammered. I'm just a bit shocked, I guess.
I hear you got your work problem solved, Solange said to Camille. Good for you. Thank you for setting an example. It's important.
Simple straightforwardness had been Solange's ally in her professional life for such a long time. It was about time she started deploying it in her personal life as well. Because it didn't matter what anyone, not even the president, thought about her being at this wedding with Aurore. All that mattered was how, in a few short weeks, Aurore had made her feel more like a woman than she had in decades, maybe ever. Besides, these were all progressive women. They were meant to be accepting of things like this. What had Aurore called it again? Sexual fluidity? They must be used to it. They had even welcomed Dominique into their circle. Solange was merely following in her footsteps.
It's a relief, Camille said. That bastard will never work again.
I knew it. Solange instantly recognized Steph's voice coming from behind her. She slapped Solange on the shoulders as though they were old pals.
Fancy seeing you here, Madam Chief of Staff.
She had a huge grin plastered across her face. To her surprise, Solange had no problem facing it. She just held onto Aurore's hand a little tighter and straightened her spine. It was an invitation I couldn't refuse.
You could have told me beforehand, Dominique said.
As you well know, Madam President, I'm not in the habit of discussing my private life at work.
I'll be back, Steph said.
I have not said the last word about this, but I have about a dozen people I have to say hello to.
She winked at Solange.
Good for you,
she added and disappeared into the thickening crowd.
Dominique bumped her shoulder against Solange's amicably.
Ignore everything Stephanie says to try to get under your skin.
She trained her gaze on Solange.
I'm happy for you. I should probably have said something, but it's also new and overwhelming.
Solange looked down at her feet.
It's hardly a surprise, Solange, Dominique said.
Madam President,
Aurore turned to them.
May I ask when you'll return to my show? My ratings tripled that night. Speaking requests have doubled. For a member of the MLR, you have a very golden touch.
Not nearly as golden as yours, I would say.
Dominique looked them both over.
I think it's about to start, Camille said.
They walked to their seats and Solange exhaled because, in truth, the worst was over now. And she was attending her first same-sex wedding. Not the only first for her these days, but as she caressed the palm of Aurore's hand, she knew she was ready for more.
Aurore.
Weddings get me every time.
Aurore blew her nose.
I don't know why. No offense to the brides or anyone here who is married, but it's just not an institution I believe in.
She whispered in Solange's ear.
This is not the place to discuss the institution of marriage.
Solange whispered back.
Especially not with all that blubber on your face. You're probably right, but, tell me, in your personal view, is marriage the cornerstone of our society?
Shh, Solange replied. Aurore dabbed another tear from the corner of her eye, then looked at the brides again. They looked gorgeous. They were both dressed in cream-colored suits, and it was, no matter her stance on marriage, a delightful sight to behold. Two women in love like that, making this commitment. Aurore squeezed Solange's knee. She was glad she hadn't had to come on her own. Aurore was used to attending all manner of events alone, but weddings were always so awkward, because they seemed to be invented for the sole purpose of reminding her what she was missing. To remind her that, if she didn't start falling for a more suitable type of woman soon, she would remain single for the rest of her days. Perhaps sexually satisfied, and with plenty of loving friendships in her life, but alone nonetheless. She glanced at Solange from the corner of her eye. Somewhere along the way, Aurore had fallen for her. She thought she knew Solange felt the same way about her, but she also knew that many short-lived relationships started this way, a frenzy, a bunch of promises that couldn't yet hold real value. Only time could tell whether this would work. She skated her hand upward a little on Solange's leg, knowing full well it would tick her off. But just feeling the curve of Solange's thigh against her palm was enough to make Aurore frisky these days. That was what falling in love did to your system. Predictably, Solange swatted her hand away. Then it was time to rise and applaud the happy couple. Solange held out her hand. "Give me a handkerchief, will you?" Aurore handed her one with a snigger. I always knew even MLR hardliners had a soft spot. She kissed Solange on the cheek. "When the crowd disperses, follow me. I've been to this place before. I'd like to talk to you in private for a minute." Solange nodded, then turned to answer a question Dominique had asked. Camille pulled Aurore aside. "Do you remember that conversation we had in the Bois de Boulogne a few weeks ago?" she asked. "As a matter of fact, I do." "Are you sure this is a good idea?" Camille whispered, keeping an eye on Solange. "Is anyone ever sure of anything?" Aurore replied. "I just don't want you to get hurt again, Aurore." "Neither do I. But that doesn't mean leaps of faith are no longer required." "Come on, darling." Zoe tugged at Camille's hand. "I want to introduce you to a few of my brand new colleagues." Aurore watched them head off, then looked at Solange, waiting to catch her glance and signal that it was time to follow her. Aurore might get hurt again, but hadn't every time she had gotten hurt been worth it a little bit in the end? At least for a little while. Maybe this was her life. Serial happiness. Or maybe it wasn't. Aurore had no idea how to do things differently. She had fallen for this woman. What was she going to do? Ignore her feelings? That wasn't even an option. Solange finally looked up from her conversation and their gazes met. Aurore nodded her head in the direction of the adjoining old stables building. She set off and didn't look back until she reached the spot she had in mind. A few seconds later, Solange arrived. "What did you want to talk to me about?" Solange asked. "It wasn't so much a chat I had in mind," she grinned. "You lured me here under false pretenses. Like that time you asked me to come over to yours to go over my interview questions, you mean? Only to jump me a few minutes later?" "I didn't jump you." Solange kissed Aurore on the side of her neck. "How are you holding up?" Aurore asked while shivers of desire ran up her spine. "Better than that blubbering mess of a woman next to me." Solange kissed her on the mouth and pressed Aurore with her back against the wall. "Let's see what I can possibly do to make things better for this poor creature." She kissed Aurore's neck again, her hand already slipping between Aurore's legs. Aurore glanced at her from between her lashes and, for a split second, wondered who this stranger was who had ended up in her bed and, only a few days ago, had been too insecure to touch Aurore like this. It was as though a transformation had taken place in front of her very eyes. Solange had grabbed the opportunity that Aurore had given her to take things slowly with both hands, but she had progressed gradually nonetheless. Pushing Aurore against this wall right now was definitely the pinnacle of her progression so far.
"Let me help you with that nervous energy as well,"
Aro whispered and wriggled her hand between their bodies to unbutton Solange's trousers. Solange grinned at her and slipped her hand under the waistband of Aro's trousers.